Live from the old Austin Opry House in Austin, Texas, it's the After Reality TV Podcast.
This is the final rose, final rose tonight.
But first.
When people stop being polite.
Shut up.
And start getting real.
Good job, Mr. Spoken.
Killed it. Good job.
Hello, everyone. I'm Spencer Kitley, and he's Daniel Oler.
I'm back.
And this is After Reality. We have a great show tonight. The Bachelor train keeps rolling all the way to the doorstep of the hometowns. Some controversy in Bachelor Nation and some new theories on who will win. All of that, plus, would not be After Reality without the challenge, would it, Dano?
No, the godfather,
Challenge Invasion, it's in the second week. And it's delivering. I can't wait to dig in. Before we do that, it was a great week in reality TV. Hit everybody with where they can find us online before we get going.
You can hit us up on Twitter at AfterRealityPod or like our Facebook page, The After Reality TV Podcast.
And once again, this week, we are joined by a good friend of the podcast and master of the reality TV domain at FantasyForReality.com, Mr. Matt Gray. Matt, what's good?
How are you guys? Thanks for having me back. You're right. The challenge on TV is very exciting.
When the challenge is on our TVs, I think it makes the world a better place.
I agree. And so, we've got two great ones going on.
Yeah, one. And when you get the overlap, that's tough to beat. And then if you also get a good season of Survivor at the same time and have all three going on...
Has it ever happened? Has there ever been a good season of Survivor?
Lots of good seasons of Survivor, Dano, including the last one that you didn't watch.
No, I didn't.
It was the best one.
They have to earn me back.
Well, they don't want you because you're a negative Nancy and you hate them.
I do hate them.
So that's why we don't talk about – that's why I bring on Will to talk about Survivor. Right. Matt to talk about Survivor. But this week, guys, Rachel Lindsay, who has become kind of a fan favorite, is the new Bachelorette. They've spoiled, if you will, their own show. And I want to get your takes here first. Matt, we'll start with you. What do you think of this, like, wrecking the season?
I think it was pretty disappointing because Rachel was one of the few that I thought had a shot to – go far. I mean, not that we're not far, but like really far. And before I tuned into Monday's episode, I already knew she was out. So I figured, okay, well, this would be her swan song. So I guess it kind of surprised this week, but now I know exactly what happens next week, which is sort of pointless.
Yeah. Dan, what's your opinion on them taking these steps to do this right now?
I'm worried if they see the season sinking and they're like, oh man, you know, ABC's like, we're losing the viewers, where the season's not going where we want to go. Nick is not that enticing. He's kind of boring, to tell you the truth. And they're wondering if maybe they keep, you know, they let you know that Rachel's going to be the future. Like, oh, I'm going to stay on and see what happens with Rachel and see if she's good and start judging her now.
Yeah, I get that. And it just seems strange, the timing. Would it be that big a deal to wait one more week to maybe she has a bad hometown date and we do that? I don't know. They've kind of been leading that way where we've talked about her family a couple different times in at least the production cut. One of my thoughts, though, is what if Vanessa or Raven or Corinne get to the final two and are just like destroyed in some form or fashion by Nick, and making them the fan favorite to become the Bachelor, and the Bachelor people really want Rachel and they don't want to get put in that Kayla JoJo position.
That's
or something like that.
Theory. I like that theory. I think you're right. If they want this, and with good right, Rachel's awesome, cool, and it's a historic thing for them.
Can we stop using the word historic? Like, it's not like she's like, it's not like my grandkids aren't going to be studying her in their history like, class.
In their history book, it's Barack Obama and yeah. Rachel Lindsay right next to each other.
Right.
A story of first.
Okay. Maybe that is a little strong. I agree. Potentially strong. But it is
groundbreaking.
They've been dogged for it for years and years and years.
Yes.
So it's a big deal for them. And yeah, I think if they get thrown off because suddenly they want another attractive white girl from Arkansas, that would be. I think they want to nip that in the butt.
So you're thinking Raven's going to be the runner up? Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, I don't.
Or at least she's going to have her heart shattered in the next 3 weeks sometime.
Does he have a? I mean, who is the favorite? Corinne, I guess.
Yeah, I want to get to this a little later on. Once we kind of dissect this episode, I want to dive in on kind of our rooting interest and who we're thinking is going to win at this point. I do have another theory, and I want to get your guys' take on the whole Rachel thing because I don't want us to get cheated here because I feel like this is the most important thing that's happened this week. Because in all honesty, the episode was not the best episode we've had, which we've gotten to that point in the season where the episodes start to taper down a little bit, but is it possible that I heard a rumor that filming starts in 3 weeks for Rachel, wow. Which that puts us at the first week in March. And if the premiere date's May 22nd, like they're saying, they do need to start filming, but it's not a different schedule than we've ever had before. I mean, we know JoJo was picked at the last minute. We know that I think Caitlin and what was the girl, other girl that was the Britt. They were kind of late in the game. Is it possible that they need longer because they're recruiting a different demographic to date Rachel than they've ever recruited before? I assume we're going to have more African American guys. Which has not been typically prevalent, or maybe a lot of African-American guys haven't tried out for the show in the past.
Right. I think that's another good point. I agree that they will likely have a larger African-American population on the show, and maybe they don't – they've never attempted to try out because they knew it was not going to work out, you know.
Yeah.
Or they suspected it wouldn't work out. I don't know. I've also seen rumors that they're going to go back in time and try and find the previous well-liked African-American contestants and put them on.
Markel? Ooh. Jonathan?
Christian?
Like in Christian? The DeLorean? They're going back in time in the DeLorean? Like,
cue up Huey Lewis.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm curious to see exactly what they – I feel like it's going to be a crowd similar to that they probably brought in for Andy. You want to match a certain level of professionalism, I would think, with the attorney being the courted, if you will. So I don't know. I'm as a viewer overall really disappointed that they did this. I don't know if it was hey, this got leaked. We had to get out in front of this. But Reality Steve leaks stuff like that every year.
Right.
I don't know. Put me down in the disappointed category that we found this out before the show was over. Or at least before the finale. Like, if she wasn't in the finale, then fine. But she's still in the show.
I agree.
Yeah. But let's get into this episode. I wanted to start with some of Nick's regrets to start this episode. We left him last week, tearful, talking to the group after his dismissal of both Danielle L. and Whitney on their group date. Who Whitney was one of my favorites from the jump, my second round pick on Fantasy for Reality. But he kicks things off talking with Chris Harrison, using words like terrified and million ways this won't work out. And meanwhile, the girls are scared to death that the way he's acting. Do you think, Dano, I'll start with you. Do you think Nick shows up at the girls' hotel room suite to have this kind of conversation with them because he's really feeling this way? Or do you think this is more made for TV?
I think a couple of weeks ago, I was watching this, and I was like, a couple of weeks ago, we were watching the show, and we had a jump the shark moment.
Yes, we did.
I can't quite remember what that was.
I can't remember what it was, too.
But there was a moment we were like, oh, the Bachelor finally jumped the shark. And then I was like, wait, I think we spoke too soon. This whole Nick wants to quit the Bachelor with 4 weeks left. This is the jump the shark moment where maybe, you know, it's becoming too produced, and him and Chris Harrison walking on the beach and, you know, their pants rolled up. Was a moment where we're like, what is he going to quit with 4 weeks left? And then what are they going to do? Cancel the season or break? Do they have a bachelor in waiting? Like some guy who can come in and start dating
the closer?
Yeah, the last six girls. Like it was just one of those things like we didn't need to have. And we knew the outcome. There was no way Nick was leaving that island.
Oh, the jumping the shark was the fake haunted house.
Oh, that was it. That was it.
And Matt, to you, I mean, we jumped the shark with the fake haunted house. Is this the same type of thing? Does Nick have commitment issues? We know he's been willing to commit in the past.
Yeah, I mean, that I think was totally produced, and therefore, but not a smart thing, because like Dan just said, you know he's not going anywhere. Otherwise, the whole thing just ends. So, I don't know what the point of that was. Did he seem all that? I mean, if he didn't want to send her home, don't send her home. I didn't think he was that into the girl that he was complaining about, Danielle L. Wasn't like that struck me as a oh my god moment. He changed his tune on Danielle L.
Well, because she wore a high neck shirt for that final date, I think he didn't know what to think when he couldn't see her chest. who knows? Maybe they're trying to create some little extra drama here. I'm curious to see what's going to happen with that.
So I want to talk about Vanessa's one-on-one date, which surprisingly was her second one-on-one date, and we're talking
after she had the vomit kiss.
Exactly. So what do you do with a person who almost has a vomit kiss? You take him deep sea diving.
Let's go deeper
and take him underwater.
Cue up that Madonna song, deeper and deeper.
Like, you know, I hate to be Mr. Cynical. But are we getting overproduced this season where the producers are putting like these girls in situations they know they're going to have like negative reactions to?
I would be curious to go look at her Bachelor profile and her little questionnaire and see if she's got some phobia of vomiting or something like that. Because there's a lot of them that have phobias of needing to take a crap on a date or farting in front of their boyfriend. I'd be curious if she has a vomiting phobia of any sort.
Is it vomiting phobia, or does she have a fear of heights and a fear of underwater? And they were like, you know what? Yeah, and they were like, oh, here, this is what we're going to do with you.
Well, on the yachting date, they seem to solidify their relationship. Neither of them seem to have their walls up anymore, which I kind of felt like was a welcome new Nick there. But Vanessa's falling in love with Nick. Matt, Nick tells her this whole story about, I don't want to tell anyone else that I'm in love with them, particularly in this environment. And he really, really likes her, but the response, not very reassuring. It was like, wow, dude, keep your mouth shut.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to make of her. Like, I liked her a lot when I first met her, and then I liked her when she stood up to him about the Corinne thing. And then somewhere along the line, I got bored of her.
Yeah, I think the Corinne stand-up thing is, like, still her, like, marquee moment on this show.
But, and I will get to it, but I don't think I'm, like, now rooting for her. I don't know. I guess I am.
Yeah, it was like week two when that happened, and that was like her seminal moment on this show.
Right.
I almost feel bad for Nessa. Like, I don't think she should be with Nick. Like, I feel like she's probably – I mean, she's a special ed teacher. I'm sure she has a lot going on in her life, and I just don't want someone like Nick to, like, ruin her.
Have you guys seen all the stuff, though, that's been coming out about Vanessa here in the news of late?
No.
And by the news, I mean the things that report things about The Bachelor. Vanessa's an actress. She apparently has a fairly well-rounded IMDb page.
Really?
I know that's not super surprising from this franchise, but
It was.
We are under the impression that she's a full-time special needs teacher.
Right.
So, I don't know. Maybe Vanessa Grimaldi has a little bit more up her sleeve. I mean, she's been in three things, including a TV show with the title Pregnant, where she played Girl.
Girl. Now I know. Now I recognize her.
In her most recent role in the Ascension TV miniseries, she played New Stewardess.
Okay.
Very accomplished.
That there for the right reason.
Very accomplished, isn't she now?
Yeah. So the group date this week was another one of these. Let's put people in a terrifying situation. And one that I would not have partaken in. There's just zero chance.
You didn't like to jump with the sharks?
Nope. I wouldn't have gone if they were in a cage or if I was in a cage or if – I mean, there's just – but the fact that they're just swimming around there was insane to me. And I don't blame Christina for hopping back on the boat, even though I'm really afraid. But also getting back on the boat and being afraid is the best move you can make. So
yeah, because the net comes back to the boat with you, right?
Exactly.
She owned the early portion of this date, especially when Nick is rubbing sunblock on her inner thighs.
And audibly talking about it in front of the others. Like, hey, I'm going to rub your inner thigh now.
Hey, guys, check this out. He really seemed to be gearing up for the hometowns on this date. He seemed to really like Christina, but something I talked about on the podcast last week was I feel like Nick was more in love with her story of her being an orphan in Russia.
It was like the movie Lion.
I haven't seen Lion. That's the one with Dev Patel, right?
Yeah. So in the movie, of course, it's a true story where this boy in India gets lost at a train station and then ends up being adopted by this family in Australia. And searches for his family, you know, in India for the rest of his life until he finds them. And this was similar. She's like living in Russia in an orphanage and gets adopted by this American family and says goodbye to her sister and moves over here. And I mean, who doesn't root for that story?
Yeah. And for the second week in a row, Nick starts crying talking to her. But I think he's realizing that he was more in love with the story about her than actually her.
Which I don't get, because I think not only is her story awesome, but she seems fun and is prettier than the rest of them. So I don't get it.
I don't know if I agree with the second part there, but
really?
I do think she's a shoo-in for paradise. I think we'll have some vodka drinking in paradise.
Yeah.
Dano, Raven, our Arkansas Belle, she starts talking about her dad's cancer and stuff on this date. She's talking through a lot of other things, but what is your take on Raven and kind of where she stands on this show?
Yeah, you know, I think Raven's that classic, I mean, I'll call her the Bachelor underdog, where she's not dominating any scenes or any episodes. She just kind of comes, she's almost like a sixth man. She keeps moving. Keeps, you know, provides a little spark off the bench when you need her, like halfway through an episode, and then, like, you know, is gone, you know. So, and I think that's what I think people like that about her, too, because she's not getting too much screen time. So when you see her, you're like, oh, Raven, oh, I think I like her. And then you don't see her for the rest of the week. And then you see her like a week later, you're like, oh, Raven, right? I like that girl. And then she's gone.
I, I really like Raven, but she dropped a bomb on this date that just kind of blew my mind. Did anyone expect Raven to tell us that she at one time was in law school? And does anyone peg her as a law student at any point in her life?
Having been to law school, no. And I said, it's unfortunate that that wasn't the case. I would have enjoyed having
law school. Could have been a lot more fun.
It would have been, yes.
Less studying, more Raven. Matt, I'm going to talk to you about this before the show, and you, Corinne's kind of broken into some new ground. She's on this group date, right?
Yeah. She's the only, you pointed this out to me, and I can't find another example of it, of someone who's made it to the hometown dates without having gone on a one-on-one date.
I don't think it's ever happened before. It's unheard of, but it seems like she's had one-on-one dates. She's had so much screen time.
That's exactly right. And even this week, I mean, she procured a love fest in his suite. She was not going to be deterred.
When she asked him about not having that one-on-one date, and his response was, "I think you've made the most of your time," which I think that was code for monopolizing screen time.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Also, like Nick says, like even on the group date, she got. Did she get? I know she got one. Did she get more than one rose on the group date? Like
Matt Gray.
I'll have to check.
But I feel like, I feel like she's getting her alone time with him. It's just not for 12 hours at a time.
Well, she got the two-on-one date, Rose, yeah, with Taylor. Exactly. And then I know she's gotten one other one, I think, on a group date. So she's had two date roses in that regard.
That's exactly what I was thinking. So, yeah, she hasn't per se got a one-on-one date, but she has gotten plenty of Nick time.
So I've got two group date roses.
Yeah, that's what we're saying.
And that includes the two-on-one, so yeah.
Yeah. And if the other thing about her, like having now cracked this first person to ever make it to the hometowns without a one-on-one thing.
Is it historic?
I think that is historic.
Is that historic?
A lot of history being made.
A lot of history.
But I do think... like, how do you introduce someone to your family, and in her case, her nanny, and say, here, everyone, I'm going to marry this guy. We've never gone out on a one-on-one date before.
And I don't think that's the most interesting thing about this, and I think we should just go ahead and dive into part two of Corinne here, of back at the hotel, and the vagina is platinum, and that really says it all.
Yes.
She's there for business in this hotel. And Dana, we'll start with you. What do you think of Nick's decision to rebuff her advances here?
I will say I was surprised. I mean, let's remember, Nick did the same thing. I mean, not quite the same thing, but was it with Andy?
It was with Caitlin.
With Caitlin, where he kind of, you know, closed the deal in the middle of the season. So I was... very surprised that Nick did. It was probably the most shocking thing of all the whole season.
Yeah, that was historic.
Yeah, Matt, we got a lot of sound bites there. Never jiggle, slightly massage. Weird things that we're getting while they're mic'd up in the room. Do you think Nick has remorse for what he did to the other guys on Caitlin's season and he didn't want to put the girls in this same position?
I wouldn't characterize it as remorse. I don't think he feels.
You would characterize that as a notch?
No, I don't think. I think he feels like, given the way they hate on Corinne already, if that came out, that would be the end of, you know, like Vanessa would leave, I think, potentially Raven. I just think he knows it wouldn't play well. I don't think he feels bad for them. I think he feels
because bad. Because it's 2 weeks before it's generally accepted that he can do that with.
That's right.
With three people.
A little too early now.
Okay.
He has to wait.
He has to wait two more weeks.
Yeah.
To get into the acceptable range.
Yeah, then everyone knows it's going to happen. It's fine. But, you know, he's literally going to go and talk to her father and say, if I propose to her, would you give me your blessing? And oh, by the way, I've never been on a one-on-one date with her.
Oh, gosh. I don't know. Maybe the highlight of this whole thing, though, is Nick sending on her way and her not being able to walk around in her wobbly 5-inch-tall Louboutins that she's stumbling through the hotel lobby and can barely walk. I think a man might be able to walk better in high heels than what she was doing.
Yeah. But you gotta remember, Corinne is drunk like 76% of the time she's on the show.
Oh,
so.
don't short her. Don't short her. We're up closer to 90.
So, you know, gotta give, I mean, it was pretty late. She was pretty probably drunk, so gotta give her the benefit of the doubt.
She loaded up on that courage before checking in on Nick.
Well, I have you guys here.
We're not going anywhere.
Now that you brought this up, we got two emails this week, and maybe I'm just totally asleep at the wheel. Pardon the pun. You'll understand in a second. Did Corinne fall asleep again this week? Because two people said you shorted us points, and I don't remember her falling asleep.
I don't have any recollection of her falling asleep. What? Someone, two people were in bed when Nick or Chris, when Chris Harrison or Nick showed up to the house.
Yeah, was but that they were asleep.
Yeah, I think
she fell asleep again at a cocktail party or a roaster. I just don't. There was no roaster.
There was no cocktail. There was no roses and cocktails and roses. Yeah. All
right. So people are just.
Maybe they were watching last week's episode this week.
Yeah, could be. All right. Good. Just checking.
Yeah. So we had some other exits. We'll start with the one that wasn't an exit. And the fastest one-on-one date ever, it was like, hey, Rachel, let's go out to a cool local place where there's other tourists hanging out because it's a local place. And we're going to have a beer and drinking out of these cool little woven koozies that everyone is drinking out of in Bimini. Have you guys ever heard of Bimini before the show?
Never heard of it.
Never heard of it.
It's the closest Bahamas island to Florida. It's like 30 miles away.
Sounds good.
Right off the East Coast there. All right. I mean, this date, boom, zip pop, and back at the house, and Rachel's happy.
Right.
Not quite the same as what we saw with Danielle M. I miss her already. She was my favorite. My number one draft pick on Fantasy for Reality.
Yep.
Riding she was bikes.
Quick.
Go ahead.
She was thrown out really fast. I mean, that relationship totally fizzled.
Yeah, I mean, that one started strong at the beginning. They're talking hometowns, though, on this date. It's a strange dynamic, though, all along, but Nick kind of recanting their relationship in their first date. And early on, I mean, this guy... tell me if you guys are picking up on this. He wears every bit of his emotion on his face. I mean, there's bachelors, bachelorettes in the past where you can't pick up necessarily, like, what are they going to do? But him, he sits down and it's like, bam, game over. Don't go to the poker table.
Yeah.
And we saw that again with her. She doesn't know how he feels. I don't know how she couldn't tell by sitting there looking at him. But it was more of a no, I'm good, and walks out. Really, rare thing where we get someone on a date this far into the show where they're non-rose dates, and they don't pack their bags, and they have to come back to the house and get their stuff.
Yeah,
I mean,
do you think that's more for the girls, where the girl she can say bye to?
Yeah,
the rest of the castmates, then just kicking her out and telling her to go home.
Yeah, well, Dan, would you like it on this show if they had to do this every time? I would.
I think it just depends. I think they're at this weird point in the season where the fellow contestants are more or your friends, just as you're competing against them. And so in the next 2 weeks, we'll get rid of that. But we're in this. It seems to happen this time frame.
Which is a good point because they make it seem like Corinne doesn't have any friends, but I'm starting to think she is friends with most of them. And we only see them complain when she does something outlandish, but the vibe is there that they seem to get along. Danielle M., before we close the book on her, paradise or no paradise?
I'll say
not
yes.
Not everybody at once.
I'll say yes.
I say late paradise, like a Lauren Hemley situation.
If she's going to be there, I don't want to waste her. She needs to be there at the beginning.
No, I don't see that.
Because a late paradise entrance is might as well not even be there.
Yep.
I wish they could figure out some different way to make it not as invaluable to be there at the end.
It should just run year long.
I like it. I sign me up for that. Can I get a subscription?
It should just constantly be happening. Like, people go straight from The Bachelor.
Like, it's like Exile Island.
Like, you show up in your cocktail dress.
Right.
You show
up. They shove them off a boat, like on Survivor, and they have to swim to the shore, and Jorge is standing there with a skinny margarita for them to drink.
That would be amazing.
Yes. It's like, just like Dan's theory on all the people from The Challenge live in a Melrose Place-esque apartment complex in L.A.
I believe it.
Everyone in Bachelor Nation lives at Playa Escondida in Mexico.
If that were the case, they would sign up so fast to be on this show.
Oh, I just get to go on vacation for like an infinite amount of time? Yes, please.
Yeah.
Oh, the food and the drinks are free and they have Wi-Fi? Great.
Yeah.
Everyone's wearing their swimming suits all day? This sounds amazing.
Okay.
Christina, she went home. We kind of already touched on her. I enjoyed when Nick showed up to the house to dismiss her. Not because he was there to dismiss her, but because Corinne was scared to death that he showed up. She's sitting on the couch going, no, 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 no. And I'm not surprised that Christina went home. I felt like it was a stretch. Matt, surprise for you?
Yes. I really thought she was that late bloomer Catherine situation where she was going to take it.
Yeah, I think Catherine Dano has kind of skewed all of us from every season since then into this thinking of there's a hidden gem in here that's going to like get dusted off in week six. And we're going to see them rise like the Phoenix to the top of the heap.
Yes.
But it just doesn't happen. Do you agree that we've kind of been Jedi mind tricked with Catherine?
I mean, maybe Catherine's like the extreme of this, but I think there is one every season. It's just, I think Raven, has Raven made, like, dominated any episode this week, you know, this year? She's had a one-on-one day. She's been around, but.
Yeah, she's had her one-on-one, and they seem to have a pretty easy relationship.
Yeah, and her, I beat the crap out of the boyfriend who was cheating.
Oh, yeah. How did I forget about that? That was like.
That was the best part of the season.
That and Michael Jordan and Abraham Lincoln were the two highlights of the season.
Right.
Because they take naps. So we're down to the final four. And
yeah,
I don't know what to think.
I don't know who to root for. I just don't. I don't like when the villain wins, even if Corinne is sort of like a faux villain. Like you said, maybe people actually like her. She's definitely the villain. And so I don't like when she wins. Vanessa is sort of not so fun anymore. And that leaves Raven and Rachel. We know Rachel's gone. So
I have a take here.
Hot take.
I don't know how I got here. But I think it's best if Corinne wins.
Well, it is. I think it's right.
They deserve each other the most.
Right.
I don't think Raven or Vanessa needs to be with Vile Nick. Hussy, Vile Hussy. Right. Somehow weirdly on the Corinne train. since they've spoiled the show for us and given us no like true head-to-head battle of Rachel and Vanessa. I don't, Dan, whose train are you riding?
Whose train am I riding? Not Nick's. But I would say, I think I'm on the Raven. I'm team Raven. Just for no purpose of she's not Corinne. I would say that's the best way. But at the end of the day, like I like to, I think we like to end our bachelor discussions on where do we rank this season? But I want to know, like, is this season meeting our expectations? I think Nick was brought on with a certain, you know, he was going to be a wild boy. He was going to play by his own rules. But do we feel like Nick has met our expectations?
Matt, I'll let you take it first.
It's a good question. I think no. I think, and I don't think he's met theirs. I think they were hoping he'd carry the show and everyone would love it. And they built him up to be this, you know, redemptive story. I don't think that's happened. I don't think he's been particularly interesting. He hasn't done anything good or bad. He's just kind of there.
Better or worse than Ben Higgins?
Worse.
Worse than Ben Higgins.
Also,
what about
the worse?
A different question for me is I like to separate The Bachelor and the season. Because they are two different things. Because you can have a ho-hum bachelor, but if you have a great group of people,
right,
it can bring things up a little bit. For me, I'm with you guys on Nick. Earlier in the season, I was really liking the group of women there. And then over the last couple weeks, it kind of bogged down for me, and I kind of got to thinking, like, I'm not super vested in, like, any of these people having a relationship with Nick.
Yeah, something.
Yeah, Dan, what is your take here?
You know, I think I watched this. I think the season was sold as, like, Nick the bad boy is now the bachelor. But also from seeing Nick, I also kind of like Matt said, this is Nick's redemption tour, right? It's like his Kobe Bryant retirement party where, like, hey, remember Kobe Bryant was an asshole for 14 years, yeah. 20 years. Just because he's a good guy his last year doesn't make him a good guy. And I think this is what Nick was trying to do, but I don't think he's pulling. And that's why it's making it a boring season, because the real Nick would probably
– he's got to play safe.
Yeah, he would. The real Nick would have hooked up with Corinne. The real Nick would have done things differently, but the redemption Nick is playing it safe.
Yeah, because he has to play it safe because there is no further redemption after this. Unless he's gonna hang his jersey with Chris Bukowski in the Bachelor rafters, there's no fifth season for Nick. And yeah. if he flubs it, then that's his rap. That's his image. Forever.
I think it's interesting because it's very ironic. I think if they had cast bad boy real Nick, then you're right. He would have slept with 10 of these women.
Yes.
And that would have been fascinating to watch, even though I would have loathed him. But now he tried to, like, they kind of beat that out of him, and with it they beat out anything interesting about him.
He's a producer. And it's interesting. I listened to an interview with him earlier this week. They accused him of kissing so many women, and he seemed very convinced that he had kissed fewer women than Ben Higgins, which I find a little hard to believe. But maybe he has some data. Yeah. I bet I know somebody that has that data probably stored away on the website.
I can check that.
Oh.
You're putting me to work tonight.
Yeah. Say that again.
You're putting me to work.
Yeah.
I don't think I can find this out.
Podcast statisticians.
That's going to take me a while.
Yeah. So before we get out of here, we're going to check our scores over on Matt's beta site. Not the regular fantasyforreality.com, but the beta site, which is awesome. I've loved it all season. I love the way we got to draft, made things easy. And Dana, we're down to the final four, and it's 2-on-2. I have the upper hand by close to 500 points for the season, but I think you have the upper hand in the regard that you have Vanessa and Raven going down the stretch. Matt, we award points if you're named the Bachelorette in the middle of the season.
Indeed, you are.
Oh, we do. Oh, so yeah. I got some Rachel points on the way.
No, no. Well, I don't know. You may already have them, unless Jake hasn't input them for the beta set.
They have not been updated, so I'm owed some points.
Yeah, you got 100 points coming.
I am, but I'm putting you to work tonight. And let's go ahead and let's shift gears, put the hammer down on the granddaddy here. The challenge invasion, we have not talked about this together. I talked some about it on the podcast last week, but with this group, we haven't. Quick hits here. Dana, we'll start with you. Challenge invasion. We like, unsure, we dislike.
I like it. Again, I'm holding reserve until the champions show up next week or the week after. Again, I don't want them just to make a cameo. I hope they move into the Oasis and they become part of the show. But I also like the feeling that these competitors are having right now where they think they're running the roost. Like, it's actually nice to see some – like, Jenna is, like, a veteran. And Jenna's, like – you know, Jenna's, like, the new I can't think of who she compares to. But yeah. Jenna is like, everyone's looking at Jenna like, oh, we need to get her out. Jenna's a good person. Like, for the past three seasons, Jenna's like, oh, we'll just skip her along. She won't do anything.
And Corey's Johnny Bananas.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's not use Johnny. No one's Johnny Bananas.
Corey is
he's like
Wes?
Zach. He's Zach. Or Wes. Yeah, Wes is good at yeah.
Matt.
I enjoy it. I like it. I like the fact that you I like the setup where you got to win in order to get into this house, so you can't just, like, sit around doing nothing and just can coast by.
It's the old island format.
Yes, that's a good thing. And then I like the champs coming back. I like that they've reached back and gotten some really old, you know, old veterans in there. You know, Darrell's
Darrell. Darrell looks good, too.
He does.
He's yoked up.
And I think it would be great to see him just take Bananas down. That would be awesome. I'm always
one
rooting
punch? For one punch?
No, I meant beat him. Win the whole thing. But CT there is always great. Zach back will be good. The women, I think they could have gotten some stronger vets, champs in there. I mean, I would like to have seen Emily and Evelyn in this mix so that you'd have an Emily, Evelyn, Laurel, Cara Maria.
It's interesting you brought this up because last week I named off the people that I wish were also there. It'd be no surprise to anyone that Mark Long was on that list. But my women that were missing were Sarah, Rachel Robinson.
Yes.
And a sleeper one was Paula.
Oh, she's got a young baby, though.
She does, as do many other women that have been on the show, which we talked about last week. My take, I love it. I love the show so far. I like to Dan's point. I love that they think that they're ruling the roost, that it's the new era, and I'm just waiting for that other shoe to drop and the looks on their faces when the vets walk out and they're like, what's up?
Yep. Not a ruins situation where it becomes team based,
right? Although ultimately there'll be alliances,
right? No, I just meant I hope it's not like that. There's one winner, and not like the champs win.
Gotcha. Yeah, and I hope when they show up that I hope Corey and Jenna jump ship and are just bond right up with those guys, and then Zach can have two ex-girlfriends on his team. Dana, were you going to say something?
No, I was just kind of talking about, like, some of the rules they have this year and what we think about them. So, for example, the Oasis, if you win the Oasis or the Temple, you don't have to compete. Basically, you win the Temple, you win the challenge, you get to the Oasis. Basically, you don't have to compete the next week.
Is that what they're calling it, the Temple?
Well, the Temple's, the battleground, right?
I didn't know how to name it. I thought it was just the elimination, but
dude, I like the temple.
I think it's called the temple. It's the temple.
I like it. Dropping knowledge on the podcast. But yeah, I wasn't sure what was going to happen coming into this week. Were those people still going to be competing, even though they already had their tickets punched? Those people being Nicole and Tony and
Dario
right. And
Kayla.
Yeah, Kayla, right? Yeah. Who's saying now? Though I think Kayla's legit. I think she's good at she's good at challenges. I think she's going to be a staple going forward on challenges.
I like her.
But do you guys like that the people that have already earned Oasis passes, so to speak, aren't competing?
Yeah, I do actually.
Now
I thought they'd be thrown into the elimination, not. In the initial challenge, but I guess they're just immune.
I'm actually on the opposite end. I think they should be able to compete because we know they're the best competitors. Like, so what if you wanted to block like someone else from coming into Oasis? Like, keep the good, like, by kind of thinning out the herd a little bit, you're letting the cream keep rising. But it'd be nice to see like Dario block, I don't know, Corey or something like that, or be able to block someone from winning.
That's true.
Is that how it worked on the island? Do you remember? Did they get to keep competing, and then if they got an extra key, they could gift it to someone?
I don't remember.
Yeah, it was a while back, and I think you worked with it, and you tried to get key. Yes, you tried to gift it to other people, and like you formed like a posse, and you were like, what you were saying is like, hey, we're all gonna share like this one key, and I think at the end you kind of had a group of people who could like share a key. And that's where they, like, but you could only be, like, up to four people or something like that. Eventually you had to, like, be like, no, sorry, we can't have any more people share this.
Yeah, but for, like, this one, I would like it if, like, kind of what you guys were saying, that if I'm Dario, for lack of a better person, he already has one, but if I get to compete and I say, and I'm like, cool, I won again, here you go, Amanda. Here's a pass to the Oasis. I think that would make things a little more interesting. But again, I'm not complaining. I don't think the Oasis. I mean, the Oasis isn't getting to the Oasis. I think it's gonna be over after this week. So we'll be locked and loaded with champions and what's left of the quote challengers.
And let's not confuse this with the island. The island was like an experiment on its own where they like deprived them of food and almost some basic necessities where at the very end, some of these people are like about to kill each other. It was a complete mess.
They're a little deprived right now. I mean, they have electricity, but that's about it.
I still think they're getting like catered meals in and everything like that.
Okay.
I saw them eating off of like plates, like the island, they got like a drop from an airplane like once a week, and it was like rice. And they're like, oh, we got rice. And they had to swim out to the ocean to get the drop and then pull it back in.
You know, and I actually watched this season recently because I had never seen it. But yeah, and it would be like, okay, it's the girls' day to swim out and get the drop. Guys aren't going, but then it would always end up like half the people were out there anyway because they couldn't get it in.
I know we go back to the island all the time, but the best part was they didn't have food. But they had plenty of alcohol, so they were all like hungry and delusional. But they were drunk the whole time.
And that doesn't really happen anymore. They don't. I don't see as much booze in these houses. It's turned into a sport. Which is the nice part about having all these new people there, where it's not as sporty to them, and we're getting a little bit more of what we love about the challenge, and that's not the challenge. It's the everything else piece of it.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
And let's talk about this week's challenge, though, the shell shocked. It was this like boat race to four checkpoints, picking up some bags of coconuts, shooting some baskets with the coconuts. I feel like we've seen these wobbly round boats before. Am I dreaming that up? Have we seen these on the challenge?
I don't remember them.
I don't remember them either.
Maybe they were on Survivor. I don't know. I feel like I've seen them before. It looked rather challenging to paddle. I like that they got to pick their teams. I like that Corey and Jenna stuck together, which Corey and Jenna were on the same season of Real World, right? Well, she was on Explosion. Was he on Explosion?
I can tell you.
Or was he Skeletons? No, he wasn't Skeletons. He was Explosion.
I'll tell you right now. Okay, Corey was.
Going to our statistician.
Yep.
Not great.
He was on Explosion.
Okay, so they were in the house together on that one. They team up. Let's talk about Ashley, Smashley, and Hunter.
So
they're good. They won.
They are good, and they I can't remember a time where people partnered. First of all, they killed the other team, but I can't.
We haven't seen somebody shoot baskets like that since Scott Pollard or Cliff Robinson on Survivor.
Yeah, that was amazing.
And those guys were pro basketball players.
They killed it, and
they I see also, what you did there, TJ.
They are they're into each other, which I think is amazing. Like, I can't remember two people pairing up, hooking up, and kicking butt at the same time.
Do we think Smashley is just picking in the right partners? Like, do you think she's learning how to play the game?
She was pretty good last season at challenges. I think this is her third one now. I think she's figured out how, yes, to play the game, kind of what you were saying, but also how to actually really play the, like, actual challenges.
I don't know if I would take Smashley in an individual challenge. That's what I'm just saying. I think she knows the right people to pick.
I do think she's tough. I think she's definitely not someone that's going to quit. She's not going to disappoint TJ.
That's like worse than disappointing your dad.
It's definitely worse. You're just like decimated by TJ on national television.
That was the best part of this episode, I think, was when Theo lost and he immediately was like, uh-oh, like, I'm going to have
to... We've had two quitters 2 weeks in a row. We had Bruno.
Oh, yeah.
Quit last week. These newbies, they don't know what's up. You can't disappoint TJ.
But he knew. He just didn't care. But he kind of cared. He was like, "Uh-oh, this is not going to go well."
Yeah. Well, so let's hold on that and talk a little bit about the nominations. So Hunter and Smashley got to make the nominations, send two people in, and Corey's going to them wanting to get put in. But then she puts Theo in, and Hunter puts Jenna in, which what you guys said earlier, Jenna's kind of now the hunted. And then the house nominates unanimously, I think, Anika and Corey.
Right. I think they knew.
Why do they want Corey and Theo to go together? Because in my head going into that, I was like, wow, there's going to be two really good guys going against each other.
Maybe they just wanted – I mean, Corey – so Corey was the one who knew he was going to go in somehow. And so he asked to go against either Theo or Shane.
Yeah,
I don't know why he didn't just say Shane.
Yeah, and I guess Smashley did take Theo up, or Corey up on what he wanted to do. He wanted to be put in by the house.
Yeah.
And ultimately choose who she was going to put in.
Right.
I thought it was interesting that we had 2 weeks in a row now, we've had a morning elimination. And
this reminds me of the original Fresh Meat, too. I don't know if you guys talked about this, but where they send them off in hiding to compete. Except.
Yeah. Yeah. I talked about this last week, but we'll kind of revisit this. I really wish they sent those four people off to the challenge and no one came back. You either right. went home or you went to the Oasis, and it was a surprise when you got there who was still in the game.
Yeah, that would be great. If they're not going to compete the next week, they might as well do that.
Right, they're just hanging out. All they're really doing is voting. It's their only role now.
You know, the fresh meat situation was better because Wes just kept getting sent in. But because he was the only one who'd been there before, he knew exactly what to do because it was the same elimination every week. And he would just kill people every time. It was awesome.
He'd get Casey. I don't remember that. I need to go. Was he with Casey?
Yeah, he was with Casey. And they'd get there, and like the other team would be like, all right, what do we do? And Wes would be like, run! And then he and Casey would just take off, and they'd have like a massive head start every week. It was awesome.
Is that where they had like run up the mountain?
Yeah.
Okay. And it was in Fresh Meat 1. Is that where we got Kenny and Evan, or was that Fresh Meat 2?
Yep. Oh, that was Fresh Meat 1.
So we get Kenny and Evan there. Do we get Kara there?
No, she was Fresh Meat 2.
Fresh Meat 2. And then Laurel was Fresh Meat also 2 because she was Kenny's partner. Man, so many great ones. Anyhow, that elimination, we already alluded to it. Corey makes it down with 5 balls. Theo's scared and quits. I think this may be the most pissed off TJ's ever been.
I kind of swore. So he was like, damn it.
I mean, he was pissed at Theo. I don't know if he was expecting more. He's like, oh, this is college athlete. Like,
yeah, he's a D1 athlete. So I'm sure he is expecting more.
Suck it up, dude.
It was really not that it grueling either. It was just a heights thing. It was like,
yeah,
jump.
Yeah, it wasn't like climb the mountain, grab the balls and jump, and that all counts. It's just grab some balls. Anika does it. Jenna does it.
Or Corey
does it.
You know, I could see eat one of these disgusting things, but like his point is when he's always like, "Have you ever watched the challenge?" Like. He's right. Like, if you are not prepared to jump off of something, what are you doing there?
Hit me, baby, one more time. Like Britney Spears on that wire coming down. Anika versus Jenna, though. I didn't really realize what the metric was until TJ told us at the end. Like, oh, it's whoever grabbed 5 balls, held onto them, and jumped off the thing fastest. I swear that at least what I saw on TV, Jenna took way longer than Anika. But she apparently did it 2 seconds faster. I think there may have been some massaging of who we wanted to be in the Oasis here.
That's interesting. Real conspiracy theory.
Challenge conspiracy. That it's very real.
Who didn't want Jenna there, though? I mean, I'm glad they did that if they did.
Yeah.
I'm glad she's there. She's on the Fantasy for Reality team.
She's funny.
At the same time, why would they screw? Like, why would they? I mean, trying to screw us over. Like, I mean, it's all about cameras and everything else that's going on. So, I mean, do they have anything really to win by screwing us over?
Yeah. And Matt, I mentioned she's on the Fantasy for Reality team. Jenna, number one pick.
Well done.
Number one pick.
She was a rookie.
She was the top echelon of the rookies.
But
who knows if that's a hold up. The champs are in Thailand. I'm excited about that. I'm thinking it's not next week, right? But the following week we probably get to see the champs.
I think so.
Yeah. Or we might see them walk in.
Banana shows up and gives a toast and that's the end of the show.
Yeah. Did you guys talk about this last week?
The Tony Renz taking the reins?
Oh, well. You know, he tried. I guess you can give him.
He tried, and I already forgot what his very brief toast was.
Maybe his writers aren't as good as Giant Banana's writers, but it was sad and disappointing. Like, you got to do your own thing. You just can't take over, like, Johnny Banana's toast. That's his thing.
That's true.
You were spot
Tony's
on.
Thing is getting chicks pregnant. that should be what he does at the beginning of each challenge, like knock up a contestant.
Like, guys, I am highly skilled at knocking up other contestants or just anyone that's around me.
That was the best part of the first episode was him talking about like how he had to really win this because he has like all these baby mamas he has to take care of now. It's like, all right, Tony, good job, man.
It was out with the old and in with the new was the Tony Rand. So it was no, I'm a lover, I'm a fighter, I'm an MTV challenge survivor. It was no, all's fair is love and war and challenges. He needs, if you're gonna be the guy that takes the reins at the, no pun intended, for Tony Reigns, you need to bring the wood, and yeah. And he did not bring the wood.
Well, he can bring the wood. It's just not for toast.
Oh gosh.
To one of the funniest moments of this challenge episode, which was
I think I must have missed it. Hit me with it.
It was when they're on the beach before the elimination, and Jenna is getting nervous because Anika seems super confident. And suddenly the thing is, if you went to college, you're obviously super smart and can do puzzles. And
of course, if
you
didn't,
you aren't. And so she was intimidated by the mere fact that Anika had gone to college. And then Kayla was like, no, no, no. I went to college. I'm an idiot. It's okay.
I forgot about this. But, yeah.
Well, I mean, that plays perfect into Jenna because didn't she, her and her cousin get an argument because her cousin had a job at her dad's bakery?
Right. Like,
you think you're all high and mighty because you work at your dad's bakery.
Oh, good stuff.
Jenna's awesome.
I mean – I'm all in on the Corey, Jenna, and Kayla trio, and all three of them are going to the Oasis, and I hope all three of them go with the champions, and it's 11 on the rest of the house, which could very well happen. Before we wrap this up, a quick look at our scores over on fantasyforreality.com, Matt's website. Daniel's got the early lead, a 400 to 310 margin, writing the early successes of Smashley and Tony Reigns. Time to cut the riffraff, though. The riffraff goes home this week, I hope.
I need Smashley and Tony to hook up.
I think maybe they have before. Didn't that happen on their season early on? Or she was just such a blur. She was there and gone and drunk and owning San Francisco like the way she did. Anything else you guys want to hit on before we get out of here?
No,
I'm good.
Daniel, are you crushing any other reality TV?
I can barely keep up with these two shows. I fall asleep halfway through The Bachelor, and it takes me two nights to watch this show.
No, I'm killing the reality TV.
I imagine you are. You have a little bit more free time than I do.
These shows, Summer House, VPR.
My DVR stopped recording Summer House. I was like, you can't keep up with this. And then so I had to go back and like record all like six episodes or three episodes.
Summer House is my number three show right now behind these two.
Ahead of Vanderpump?
It's past Vanderpump in my book. Oh, love wow. It. I've cut out Beverly Hills. I quit this week. I'm done with it. Can't watch it. And then big news. Did you guys hear that well, Matt didn't hear because he doesn't care about Bravo shows. But Gigi from Shaw's Sunset got married. So now we have married Gigi and with child Asa, which equals the Shaw's is not going to be very good anymore.
Yeah, it's probably the last season.
We need some new blood. Time to bring back Lily and the crazy girl, Asifa.
Yes.
Anyhow. We're going to get out of here. Oh, and Ben Robinson not coming back for the season of Below Deck. Sad day. But anyhow, before we get out of here, Dano, remind everybody where they can find us online.
You can hit us on Twitter, at Reality Pod, or like our Facebook page, The After Reality TV Podcast.
And where can we find you?
At Daniel Oehler, Oehler.
Matt's website, Fantasy, the numeral 4, reality.com, or at Fantasy for Reality on Twitter. Matt, are you guys back to live tweeting The Bachelor or somewhat tweeting The Bachelor?
We have not returned to that, but we
add that to the list.
Yeah.
I've been giving you a list of things to do tonight. Homework assignment.
Well, I have to find out who's kissed more women, and now I have to find
out. Put them in the Bob Guinea Ring of Honor for kissing. Yeah. You can find me on Twitter at Spencer Kitley, all one word. It's been a fun show tonight. We'll see you again probably next week. Hopefully next week. We'll see you next week. I don't have anything better to do. But until then, we remind you, we like bears and Mexican food right here on After Reality.